Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens, families, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to discuss and to examine various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. The content of today's discussion may contain offensive language. The N-word, or nigga, stems from the same word in Spanish, French, Dutch, and German, all derived from the Latin adjective meaning black. Today, the implied racism of the use of the word is strong. Since the rise of gangster rap and hip-hop in the early 1990s, the use of the N-word has become accepted and justified in some circles, especially among teens and those in the entertainment community. Often called the ugliest word in the English language, it does not appear to be going away anytime soon. Besides the influence of hip-hop, popular use of the N-word also may be rooted in a generational gap between those who lived through the civil rights and black power movements and the beneficiary of those movements. The N-word casts comedians as pivotal disarmers of the loaded term. Icon Richard Pryor's incessant and incessive use is presented as opening the doors for rebel rappers like N.W.A. and comedians like Dave Chappelle. Aaron Magruder's controversial animated series, The Boondocks. This hour, I have joining me all African-American students. I guess I shouldn't call you all in, huh?
No.
All right. Joining me, I'd like to say welcome, Douglas Giddens.
How you doing?
Douglas is a senior. I'm doing well, brother. Douglas is a senior at FAMU in industrial organization. We have Camille Lewis.
Greetings.
Second year, master's in community psychology, FAMU. We have Rochelle Paris. FAMU, second year, master's in community psychology. Her interests are social and clinical psychology.
Greetings, everyone.
Tia Maxwell, FAMU. She's a senior, urban sociology. Glad to have you anyway.
Thank you.
And Nehemiah Nash, senior, FAMU.
My major is sociology.
Sociology.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Antoine Booker.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. FAMU, senior in broadcast journalism. I want to welcome all of you. I really appreciate you coming to talk about this. Today, the implied racism of the term is so strong that the use of nigger in most situations is a social taboo in the English-speaking countries. Many American magazines and newspapers will not even print the word in full. From your opinion, what is it about this word, the N-word? I mean, we don't even say it anymore, or we act like we don't say it. It's said behind closed doors, you know. When they see you walk down the street, they say it. Okay, you might not know about it, but it's being said. But what is it about the word that compels and repels and frightens Americans so, from your perspective? Because, you know, when now we just almost, it's like, you don't ever say that. And did you hear he said the N-word? And, you know, people lose their jobs for saying the N-word. So what is it?
I think it was brought about at a very violent time in history and a very hateful time in history. So the word still carries that pain and still carries that hate and still carries that energy. So if you hear somebody say it, you know possibly what their intentions could have been. So knowing that, that makes it such a taboo word to say because it carries such, you know, negative connotations with it.
Okay. Where the rest of you all sit? Why do you think we have the reaction that we do, or individuals have the reaction that they do?
It all depends on who's reacting, because different individuals will have different interactions with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because exactly what she said was, the history behind it and how strong of a racial attachment there is. So if a white person were to say it, we would look at it from a more racial standpoint versus mm-hmm. if a black person were to say it, it would be more so a brotherly-like or just a stronger bond, depending on the connotation even mm-hmm. within that. But even if you were to question why do we feel that way, mm-hmm. it would because we would have to question the history, why we don't like address that stuff, because a lot of times we don't like addressing the history because we get, I feel like with white people, they don't want to get called a racist, but yet they still want to say a word that is drenched in racism, mm-hmm. although it's done in a melodic way.
Can it be done in a melodic way?
I think so, which is also why I wanted to, you were reading the introduction, you were saying how NWA, you gave examples of pretty much how the N-word was displayed through media, but it's I wouldn't even say like NWA or Richard Pryor are the reason. It's because, I mean, we have The Last Poets, which are way before right. even rap, and they said niggas are scared of revolution, where you say nigga almost like 30 times within a track, and I think it's something that was already prevalent. But it's a matter of comfortability where we don't have to say, okay, we know we're saying it amongst ourselves, right. but we have to filter right. ourselves around other people. Then it started to become socially acceptable. Mm-hmm. Now everybody wants to say it, mm-hmm. but they don't want to just address the racial and history of it. But that's us as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's multifaceted.
Do you all use it? Who uses the N-word?
I do.
All the time. Okay, I got response from there. All right, now do you feel that everybody and anybody can use the N-word?
Absolutely. I don't think that they should. I think that they should be aware of the culture behind the word and why people are so sensitive about it. But at the same time, if you just look at the deeper meaning and how sometimes we start to internalize these things when we don't realize it, I feel like I have to be more intentional about my usage of the word because I know what it represents, because I know, like, it's referring to an ignorant person, and that's not race specific, you know, but with the history of it, you know, it's just a negative thing, and I just don't think I should use it, even though I do use it when I speak with my friends, you know.
But when you speak with your friends, you're not referring to anything negative, are you?
No.
So, you know, it depends, you know, it's different strokes for different folks. It depends on, you know, the environment and who's using it. I mean, it's a negative. Is it negative? Let me put it this way. If I called you that, you know, just in talk and say, if I called you that, would you see that as being negative?
No.
Okay. So are we saying that it's all right if it's us, meaning people of color, as opposed to, you know, Caucasians?
I think that's our justification.
I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just trying to get a real feel, a real handle.
I believe that not even with just the N-word, just in words in general, certain words have meanings to certain people that mm-hmm. can offend people deeply. Like, mm-hmm. I might have a nickname that my family specifically calls me, and that doesn't mean that just anybody up the street can call me that nickname because they don't know what the history is behind that. So mm-hmm. when it comes to the N-word and people outside our race using it, that's a no. You can't use that because there's a history behind it that you don't understand, and mm-hmm. there's a history that you're not going to comprehend because you didn't go through that, or your ancestors didn't go through that. And even amongst certain black people where they feel mm-hmm. as if they know that, okay, if this is a word that can possibly hurt you, depending on how you feel towards that word, because there are elders that I have, and I'm sure that you guys have, that if you said the N-word around them, they'll smack you up your face because they know, you know what I'm saying, because they have that more... they relate to it. They relate to that word differently than right. we do. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's context, connotation, as well as familiar. What's the word?
Familiar.
Yeah, relationships to certain people when you use that word.
Whenever this conversation comes up, I always like to, you know, address the hypocrisy as a person who says the word nigga, who feels comfortable with saying the word nigga, who encourages people to use the word nigga if they feel that they should, outside, only black people, sorry, not any other person of color or mm-hmm. white person. But I do like to address the hypocrisy because, again, it's one of those things that's not just black and white, just like any other social construct, any race, you know, mm-hmm. religion, it's not black and white. So we can't look at it within the guise of, is it right or wrong? I think, again, it just relates to context. And for me, you know, in the history of the N-word, from what I understand about it, it was used as an in-group term. Now it's permeated media to the point where we're saying it. We've gotten comfortable outside of the home and outside of our community using it. And so people who are not Black are hearing us say that word and they're thinking that it's okay. That's where it gets kind of iffy. But as a person, I tend to use it within my in-group. I tend to use it around people that I'm comfortable with. I try not to say it in white spaces, not because I feel uncomfortable saying it, but because I don't want them to feel as if they have the right to use that word, personally.
Okay.
To add to that, I use it, not frequently, but I do use it, but I'm very conscious where I use it, like she said, and whom I use it around. So I don't use it when I'm talking to my elders. I don't use it when I'm talking to my children, you know, anybody in a position of respect. And I'm often finding myself checking younger children. So I'm around, you know, 10, 9, 8-year-olds, and they use it freely. And oftentimes I'll pause and I'll ask them, what does that word mean? Why are you using that word? And
how do they respond?
One child told me, actually last week, he was like, well, mama said it's only a cuss word if a white person say it. Okay. So, and then some of them know the history. Some of them say, I know it's a bad
That's
word.
So
it's a mix, but I think it's important, especially with the youth, that we educate them so they at least have the background knowledge on the history and on the struggle and then make a decision themselves. Do you want to use it or not? Because everybody's using it, but you make that decision for yourself. But at least they should know the history, at least.
Okay, yeah, they need to know the legacy that goes with it. Okay, but is there a double standard then? What I hear you saying, it is a double standard.
It is a double standard.
It's a
word that's just like, yes, I can use it, and we can use it, and you can't, and if you use it, you should use it where we can't hear it because this is how it's going to be taken. But then there is like...
go on.
There's also this like situation sometimes where people have established close relationships with white people that may have been raised in their neighborhood and they have like a brotherhood. So some people have an exception where they say, well, he's Black. Like, you know, we made him a part of our community and, you know, he can do it. And some people still feel like, no, he's still white. And he still can't use it. And y'all may have that relationship, but your friend can't call me a nigga no matter how close he is with you and what y'all do. That has nothing to do with me. So it's just a really slippery slope. It really is.
We are having a very interesting discussion today about the N-word. I have all students of color, African Americans from FAMU, and we're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. Today we are talking about the N-word. The content of today's discussion may contain some offensive language, so be aware of that. The N-word, do you feel it should be censored? And why?
I'm going to go ahead and say no, it shouldn't be censored. Although it does have its negative natured history behind it, I believe that it's still something that's held between our people and our culture. So if we feel like that's how we want to address our kin, our friends, you know, in our safe haven or in our own personal relationships, we should be able to do that regardless of whatever double standards people have to say, how come I can't say it or how come they can say it with their friends. I believe that if I choose to say it with my people, I should be able to say it with my people, even when it goes to music or our movies or the cases, because I feel like if that's the way people can look at us and see that, okay, that word is how he addresses somebody that's close to him, then that's how he should be able to do it. I shouldn't have to call him by his first name if that's my N-word. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. So I feel like it shouldn't be censored. I feel like it's what's ours is ours, and just keep it at that. Mm-hmm. And don't try to find a puzzle piece to fit in that vacant spot.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's different strokes for different folks, but I really don't hear cracker. Like, I don't hear people say that. I don't hear them within themselves calling each other that. And when I do hear it, it's it bothers me way more than hearing the word nigger, because it's like I never hear that, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just like it draws more attention. You don't see that in the media, and when you do, it's just, I know it's just taken differently. So I feel like the way we've normalized it, there may be an issue surrounding that, that maybe we're not really looking at it because we have this idea like, well, this is just what we do and it should just be okay because that's our choice.
Okay. I kind of agree with you. I disagree with like any white person trying to police any part of Black culture. But in regards to media, I think that when we allow the word nigga to move outside of a sphere that only we can control, and the only thing we can really control is our interactions with each other, once we start putting it in media, even if it's made for Black consumption, unfortunately, there are going to be people who are not Black listening to this, and in mm-hmm. their mind, they're accepting that this is okay. In my perfect world, you know, there would be Black media, there would be a Black community that was literally just only for Black people, but that's probably not gonna happen anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So until that point, you know, I just think censorship wise, because again, if we do let anyone use the word nigger, or if we start letting it, you know, permeate the media, then, you know, a newscaster may use it to say it just casually in order to refer to what somebody else said. But I don't want you to have that clearance at all. Like,
but see, let me just share this with you. From It tells me, it explains to me, if we're talking about a newscast or something and they blank it out, I would rather know that the word was used, because it sends a message and I know something about that individual or where they may be coming from. Does that make sense to you? Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, and exactly. Often they'll blank it out and you don't like have anything. You know, and mm-hmm. yeah, and you guess, but I would rather know. I mean, if they said nigga, they said nigga. Mm.
So now, you don't even, not even the euphemism, the N-word, you don't think they should use that?
The euphemism as in A, the ends with an A?
No, the euphemism, the N-word. Oh, like the N-word. The N-word instead
but
of
lots
saying
of times they just blank the whole thing out and you don't know.
But I agree it should be censored, because by allowing it said on TV, you are giving everybody that's listening to that station permission to use it. So if we just censor it, then that's at least sending the message, this word is inappropriate to use. So if you do choose to use it on your personal time, you know that you're wrong.
And I'm okay with the... What? I don't want to have the word completely censored. I just don't think you should be able to say nigga. I want you to say the N-word if you're referring
okay.
to it.
Okay, you okay? Yeah. Okay. So you would use N-word.
Yeah, like if it's going to be if it's on the news and you're using the word nigger, unless you're using it for historical reference or to say that somebody said it, not even Black, because you're on the media. If you're allowed to use the word, it shouldn't be uncensored. And if it has to be censored, that means there's a problem. Exactly. So you shouldn't be using the word. It should only be a historical reference, or you're saying, well, he said nigga in the whatever the statement was. That's it. Mm-hmm. Because the censorship says that there's an issue. Yeah. And you would never be able to refer to a white person as a cracker on the media if it wasn't a frame of reference or it wasn't something that somebody else said. And the same standard should be held to that word. But it makes it harder for them to consider that, because we use it so freely within our own culture. And we have to think about why we have accepted that. And the changes, and it's just like the B word.
Why we have accepted, I'm sorry, I mean, why we've accepted the use of the N word amongst us?
Yes, like the way that it's being used and how it's in all of our music, and most of the time it is in a negative light. So everybody that's watching it, you can say, well, I mean it here this way, I mean it here this way, but if it was already set up to only be within and it's being heard outside and then it's in the media as negative, it's like, what do you expect?
So I feel like when it comes to media or music or entertainment in general, when we, our people, rappers, singers, they use the N-word, I don't necessarily think. Of course, financially speaking, they may, okay, maybe target a certain audience, you know, to make that money. But I think in the talent that they're, in the music that they're making is used to relate to their culture, Black people. So like a person like T.I., he may be rapping for Black people, but white people have found a liking to it. So with him using the N-word, it's not like I'm rapping the N-word so that a white person can go back and replicate it. You know, if it happens, it happens. Not saying they have, they're okay with it, but it's more so of like, it happens, so I can't control it. Now, that's not giving them permission to repeat it on a solo basis amongst their white colleagues or friends or whatever, but that just happened. And so with T.I. or any rapper, mm-hmm. excuse me, T.I., but with any rapper or entertainer that uses the N-word, it's kind of like, okay, I said it, and it's not because I'm trying to, like, you know, boom, give everybody access to it. It's more so, all right, cool, I said this for my people, and they can say it, but I can't control what everybody else says it, if that makes sense.
But to piggyback off what you said, that becomes a part of the issue. If you look at the quality of music that it was before when people used that word versus the quality of music now and how they use it and the amount of money that they get paid for trash music mm-hmm. in the context that they use it is very different. And people that are trying to use that word and send out a positive message, they don't get radio play like that. They're not making mm-hmm. all of that money. Right. They trying to do other things because they're not getting what they want because there's an agenda. Right. There's an agenda for the uses of the word, pushing it out to the masses. And it, when you continue to hear this over and over, like, you start to internalize it whether you realize it or not. It's the same way with social media and how you just keep seeing the same thing or hearing a song that you might didn't like in the beginning, but after continue to hear it over and over, it's like you start to sing it. So it's to say that you're not impacted by the things that you continue to see. Oh, well, I'm singing it, but I'm not listening to it. You know, it's, that's not really what's happening.
Well, and then, but then when is it, you all tell me when the use of the word is offensive.
It's context.
It's all context. It's context.
And that's okay. Black or white.
Okay.
Like. But it's always offensive when white people use it.
Yeah, I was about to say. It's always, anybody outside of the black race uses it, I'm offended. Like, I'm offended that you have the audacity to even say it in front of me. Mm-hmm. Like, because I want to say, in the 90s, like, mm-hmm. you couldn't get white people to say it because they knew it was repercussions behind it. So, like, what is it that today is it like, right. are we, like, what are they, is either they don't respect us or it's like, I don't know what the other one is. All I can see is that they don't respect us for them to even say the word in my presence. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think, like.
Here's the thing. It's a double consciousness to it. So, like, We first of all, I don't think it started off as an in group. I don't think we came off the boat calling each other niggas, first of all. So therefore, it's not an in group thing. We never said this is what we're going to collectively call ourselves. It was white people who called us that. With that same thing in mind, we can't then say we reclaim the word and then get mad when other people use a word. Because how much power does you truly have if once somebody else says it, then you're going to get mad. You're giving them power because it's like, no, that's ours. So it's a double consciousness to it. And I think that really has to be addressed. So if you really want to reclaim the power, and I feel like the best way to reclaim it at all is just to stop saying it at all. Eradicate. You can't say, we reclaimed it and then still use it in your life. Me, I have a different perspective on it as words are, we give the meaning to the word itself. Mm-hmm. So just how the meaning when it originally came has evolved, we kind of add our own meaning and kind of go with a living definition of it, which is why it's so much scattered, controversy.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like a bunch of different perspectives on this is when we should say it, this is how we should say it, and
I will say that like. With the word like nigga or even the B word, where it's like you said, it definitely wasn't started in group. It was something that was said to us and called. They called us that, and then we took it and we formed it and we tried to use it as an empowerment. Okay, what you say doesn't hurt me. What you mm-hmm. say don't hurt mm-hmm. me. I'm going to use it and amongst us because not necessarily for to give you guys gratification. It's more so. All right, look. This is my people. This is us. It don't hurt mm-hmm. us no more, except for, you know, when you're mm-hmm. trying to be offensive. Now, I look at the B word where you hear girls calling them their friends or sisters. Yes, mm-hmm. B. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's just like okay. So she could call you that regardless of her relationship to you or how close y'all are. Mm-hmm. But the second a man off the street or to call you that, now you're offended. So now I look at it like, okay, cool. It's context. It's the relationships that you have with people, as well as the diction in which they use it, because like I said, your elders may be offended to you, even though they're black, they mm-hmm. may be offended to you because mm-hmm. that's what mm-hmm. they that's the time they were brought up in. So yeah. It's just familiarity.
I think it's the culture, like you said, you know, it's how we were raised. We were, the majority of us were born in the 80s or the 90s, mm-hmm. and that's when it started to become popular in the media. Right. So by the time, you know, we were toddlers, elementary school, it's been common. Like, it's common in the neighborhood, it's common on TV, it's common in the music. So whereas some generations may have been raised completely different, that's just honestly how we were raised. And to your comment on, you know, white people in the 90s didn't say it, but the music in the 90s wasn't the same as the music now. You know, so I think it's just a cultural shift. And I think the word still carries the same pain, the same energy, the same trauma, because if a white person says it, we still get angry. You know, like, we can still be offended by the word. So that word still has that painful energy mm-hmm. attached to it. That's not going anywhere.
So can we ever truly reclaim it?
I don't think so.
No.
I feel like, to piggyback off what she said about, like, even, like, rappers today, like, in the 90s, you have Tupac, Dr. Dre, N.W.A., mm-hmm. and, you know, all those rappers who said the word, and that was them reclaiming it. And now, as years have gone by, and now you got these new age rappers, the ones that's born in the late 90s, 97, 98, 99, 2000, and they're coming out, and they don't even know what happened. They don't even know what happened in 94, 95, 93, 92, 80s. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They don't know. Or their parents, you know what I'm saying? Or they just didn't, like, they didn't know. Like, so now they're saying it without recognizing
the history
behind
the
it.
Legacy.
And as years go on, like, rappers that's being born today, that's gonna be rappers 20 years from now, it's gonna lose all type of meaning, because it's like, well, shoot, they say a nigga, I'm gonna say a nigga, and I don't know what happened in the 70s, that was 50 mm-hmm. years ago, 60 years ago, what that gotta do with me? And now it just becomes more and more less of a meaning to them.
Even in today's music, though, they still, like, they don't care, well, I wanna say the newer rappers, they don't care mm-hmm. about, like, they don't care about none of the how it makes people feel or anything. They just mm-hmm. it's like, it's in the music. That's what I say. Like, and they don't address it when they're at a concert and there are, like, thousands of white people saying that. That's cool to them because that's just airplay and that's all that matters to them. So it's like, you're not caring about your culture in your music that was in the 90s that was just for your culture. You're not still carrying that same energy into, you're allowing it to be like just a word. Like, it's a word to them, like.
Well, you can almost say that the people listening to it don't care about the culture either.
I think that when we have this conversation, though, a lot of the time it happens between intellectuals, and so we're not necessarily considering the fact that some people don't grow up with the education mm-hmm. to understand the connotation of the word and the denotation of the mm-hmm. word. So to them, it really is just a word. Like, if you grow up in the black community and you hear the word, you're not going to think twice about where it came from if you have no experience and nobody's teaching you that information.
Is there really, let me just say this and then I'll come to you, but is there really a difference between the hip-hop culture's affectionate use of the word and the conventional use of the word? And you can go on and, I mean, I'm just throwing that out there for you all to think about, but I know you had a comment.
I don't know, because it's like, if we're losing our, like, if we're referring to black children and they're losing the history of what happens with the word, it's just like, okay, it's just the word for them. But is that the same for white kids? Like, are they just having it as a word, or inside their household, are their parents really teaching them that they are niggers and we are white? And mm-hmm. so even though they're young and they all listen to the same music, that doesn't mean they're getting the same message in a household. Mm-hmm. So just because they have this little friendly atmosphere because they listen to the same music, that doesn't mean the message and the intent is still the same, just because there's a casual relationship between different mm-hmm. races. You
and
know?
That goes back to the energy that it's a harmful, hurtful, hateful word. Like, we may say it, white people may say it, it may be in the books, but it's a harmful, hateful, hurtful word, no matter what context you look at it. That's the root of it. That's where it comes from. It was invented to hurt and degrade. That was the intention behind that word. And it may have grown and morphed and change, but the intention of where it's like, if you build a house, that foundation is always going to be there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? No matter how many rooms you add to it, how many times you paint the outside, put new furniture in, the foundation is always going to be there. And it's the same way with the word.
I would say that, no, like I'm going to say, I'm not saying, I absolutely believe that no white person should ever say the word. But just as I stated earlier, that as new age rappers being born today are 20 years from now become rappers and the words are completely lose meaning. Same thing for, I feel, white kids. White kids who are being born today, 20 years from now, their parents who are probably my age now, who probably, they know the word, but the, like, because today the word has no type of kind, like no type of filter to it, besides if you try to offend somebody, like in music, white kids born today, 20 years from now, may not have the same regards of the N-word as white people have today, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm saying that right. You know what I'm saying? Like the N-word being offensive to white people, who N-word being offensively used for white people against black people today may not be a thing for white people 20 years from now, because it's like, mm-hmm. cool, we all saying it. So why mm-hmm. am I offended? Why does it bother me to say it if we're all saying it?
I feel like white privilege will still be a thing 20 years from now.
That's true.
And as long as racism and white privilege exist, then that word will be used to degrade somebody.
It's a global, the negative association and link to black people is globally accepted. And because that is what you're up against, you have to redirect the way you refer to yourself, queens and kings, like, you know, just pick different words because it's less contradictive to our progression.
You tuned in to 411 Teen, and we have a very, very dynamic discussion here going on. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. The N or nigger word is usually regarded as taboo. The word is associated with a presumption of inherent inferiority and, in general, with the stereotypical characteristics of the race that the word denotes, rendering it potentially powerful, pejorative, and abusive when it's used by non-African races. Too many people associate non-blacks who use the term with racist and racist organizations like Ku Klux Klan. Can white people steeped in hip-hop culture use the word ever without offending, I can see you shaking your head, without offending black folks? Is there ever any situation? Go for it. I mean, I want to hear
you. So, yeah, no, they can never use that word without receiving any consequences. All right, so for instance, I seen a video on social media where Kendrick Lamar had a concert, and he has a song where he uses the N-word like mm-hmm. 10 times back to back. And he got a white girl come on the stage with him and to rap. And she started saying, he's like, he took the mic from me like, you don't say that. And then I think he gave it back to her, but then she messed up like the lyrics. So she told her to get off the stage. But that just went to show, like, rappers are definitely, like, certain rappers understand the severity of their music and understand the certain lyrics. And I don't think that white people should ever think they should ever be comfortable to use it without receiving consequences. But like I said earlier, when we have music that produces this word, that uses this word repeatedly, it kind of gives them that open access to stick their foot in the door.
That's the gateway.
Yeah, to stick their foot in the door. It's what's hip right now. It's popping.
It's the first thing they say. If they didn't want you to say it, no, I didn't put it in the song immediately. That's the first thing they say every time.
What about the First Amendment? I mean, you know, where it says, you know, there's freedom of expression.
Everything.
There's freedom of expression.
You're allowed to do a lot of things legally.
I'm just doing it
even illegally. Freedom. You can kill somebody, but it's repercussions.
Like, for instance, like Twitter, like, I know, so Instagram, Facebook, and like Snapchat, also like each different social media has their like their guidelines and rules mm-hmm. that you have to follow. Now Twitter, I recently just got started getting active on Twitter, and I can tell you now Twitter is wild. Yeah. Like Twitter has no censorship at all. Like I've seen a lot of crazy stuff on Twitter, and one thing that I will say that is like, for instance, child pornography is banned from all types of like you know mm-hmm. media. Like there's if and no ifs and buts, but the use of the N-word, racial slurs, you know, calling people out their name on social media, that stuff, it gets, you know, it gets, like, brushed over. Like, that's nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think with one of the anchors who had posted Donald Trump with the head cut off, like, you know, that preacher got removed. But I think John McCain's daughter, who had reposted a picture of her with a gun to her head. Mm-hmm. She had, the only reason she even got that picture off Twitter is because she knew people in the higher office of Congress. But realistically, they weren't going to remove that. So what I'm saying is basically that it's one of those things where I'm
not talking about. Well, do you think it'll ever become desensitized?
No, because I think it's getting more acceptable because okay. I remember. I don't want to say the year wrong. It was like 97 when J-Lo said the word. She did a song with Ella. It was like back in the day. But she said the word in like an ad lib. And it was like a huge deal. Like everybody was like, oh, she can't say that word. She not black. She Puerto Rican. Like it was a big deal.
I do remember right. that. I remember
and
that.
Like there was an actual discussion about that. Yes. But now you have Facebook and Twitter, you have white people saying it. And it's not like a major discussion. It's just like, oh, white people think they can use the word again. Mm-hmm. And we keep going about our day.
Mm-hmm. Like that's what I'm saying. Do we come desensitized?
We have. And there's, it's an issue.
And if you just think about how can you regulate that on Facebook? Like when we all talk like mm-hmm. that. Look at how people talk. Not even just looking at those people with these big platforms. Just on average, just look at people who just freely write what comes to their mind on their Facebook page. Like, you will really be flagging and blocking a lot of the reporting or whatever you get flagged about. It's based off the people who see your stuff and report. So your friends aren't reporting you. It's not until somebody in a bigger position or somebody's video goes viral and that's when they become under scrutiny. But it's like, normal people within our communities, and sometimes like the lines are starting to blur with the younger kids, it's really hard to regulate that. That's why I just think you should just, it's so many stipulations that it's enough negatives for us to feel like, okay, we should just let it go.
I'm gonna jump on that. I said it's impossible to really just it's really impossible to at this point really just censor the word or get rid of the word as a whole, because it's literally rooted in everything that mm-hmm. people do socially, music, sports.
NFL banned it being used on the field.
Exactly, yeah. and like I said, the players use it within themselves on the court. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where it's just like, it's so deep in society today that it's one it's gonna take generations if that to even.
Well, I want to go back to that First Amendment thing because we didn't talk about it, and even though you know, because the First Amendment says it protects the freedom of expression, and I just wonder, you know, what role, what impact it has. And when I say freedom of expression, it means even if you say something that is extremely offensive, you still have that freedom to say it. The only time, the only exceptions, I think, are if it's something where someone says something and it's going to incite
libel.
A libel or violence or something mm-hmm. like that. So how does that fit into it?
That word could bring about some violence. Like,
inside a riot.
Yeah, it could start a riot. The wrong person says it in the wrong place. Okay. Like, I've seen fights happen over that word, you know, so.
Okay. It depends who's regulating. Like, I just watched the video where this white elderly man was insulting this elderly black lady because he didn't want her sitting next to him. And he said, nigga, move your feet or something. And he just kept calling her a nigger. And the flight attendant was trying to de-escalate the situation. But I've seen people for less than that have to get escorted off of the plane with their tickets paid for. He did not.
Right.
And even though she wanted to sit next to her daughter, they moved her because he was the issue. And another white man was trying to intervene, but the fact that it went that far and nothing happened, then after the fact, oh, well, the police are going to go at him. About what? What are you going to charge him with? Like, the consequence at that time would have been to take him off of the plane, but they didn't. So it just really depends, because people bend the rules when they see fit.
White privilege.
So.
Yeah. I'm kind of got a different perspective on this. I'm anti-censorization at all. I don't think you should, censor anything. Mm-hmm. How people react to it is their reaction.
And they don't have to listen to it.
And even deeper, if we really have a problem at the end of the day, don't say the word at all. Because you'll be a fool to think just because they didn't say it on stage, they're not going to go home around their people and within their in group. So I think you would die from exhaustion trying to police everybody who said the word nigga. I think that's absolutely pointless, and we put way too much energy into doing that. Mm-hmm. But if, like, it goes to the next aspect of when, so people are going to say, so let's have the conversation. Like, let's have the conversation. Like, don't run from it and don't always come out in aggression. Like, mm-hmm. that shows you
weakness.
Yeah, I wouldn't say weakness. I think there's a better word. I just can't think of it right now. But in a sense, I think it's not parallel with what we claim it to be. So, like, if you can't say it's a sense of endearment and then get mad when white people say it. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, so it might have turned into a sense of a term of endearment to them. And then also, the lines are so blurred. Who's this? So if you have a white parent and a black parent and they have a baby, can that child say
because they biracial?
Yeah,
you know, if you have a drop of black blood in you, you black.
Okay. Well, some people say you're not black enough.
You got white
if you
people
look real
who
white.
Got black blood in them too. Then, and we don't know that based off of sight.
Right.
I've heard that you're only black in a mixed family if the mother is black. I've heard that, and I was like, okay, I guess, but I mean, at the same time, you're black. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I don't know. I heard you about to say the whole colorism thing. That's a whole nother topic, but
that needs to be our next one.
I think it's nuanced. Again, I also agree to the point that we'll probably never get to the point where, I mean, it's just an unpoliceable word. You cannot control what people say at the end of the day. I challenge non-black people to ask themselves why they feel the need to say it.
Compelled.
Why
do you want to say it so bad?
And I get that people use...
Even if it's in the store. They might just be even louder just so they're one word.
Just emphasize it.
It's in the song.
And I get that we use...
But that's a valid question.
I mean, yeah, and we use hip-hop culture as a meter for black culture, which I don't agree with. But hip-hop culture is not representative of black culture at all. It is a component, but it's a part of black culture, but it is not black culture. And so when people go use the argument, oh, but it's in hip hop, still there's so many other nuances to black culture that you just won't understand the word nigga in its entirety, the way that it's used in our community. And I get that, and I know again that there's a level of hypocrisy associated with it, mm-hmm. but it is what it is. Like, there's a lot of hypocrisy about a lot of everything, mm-hmm. so it is what it is.
I almost feel like a group of white people should be sitting around these microphones in order for us to understand and answer that question. Why do they feel compelled to use it? And I don't think we can answer that question.
We can't. And it's not our job to answer that question, because we have dealt with the repercussions of white supremacy and white privilege. And I just don't understand why they think that the privilege has to extend to another word. Like, it's just so tiring to just feel like I always have to explain myself as to why I do what I do as a black person. I'm tired of you policing me. Like, if I say it, if I don't say it, that's fine. But why do you want to say it? Like, let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. What about children? Oh, no, go on, bro.
I was about to say, I don't even think it's like, I would say it's more envy, because I feel like they
want
to be...
They want everything we
associated have. With us in every sense, fashion, every facet of everything that we do, they want to be a part of, mm-hmm. and I literally don't understand it.
I think that's why I feel so strongly about the word, and again, I understand that it's so complex, but mm-hmm. it's just like... Can we own anything? Can we have something that you can't touch? And I mean, again, I know you can't police it, but it's just like, I don't understand. Why do you want to be, why do you want to consume us, what we have to offer all the time, but never contribute to our growth? Like, we always have to, black people, we always have to build ourselves up. We always have to create this sense of community. We always have to have a word that we feel is our own. But, you know, it's a reclamation of something, again, that's derogatory. But again, we created it, you know, feel, well, we reformed it to feel as if we had some sort of sense of community. And everything is always just stripped away from us and always re-examined. Like, I, good Lord.
One of the same reason they want to tan and get your melanin skin.
I know, good Lord.
So what about the question, like, so, all right, so obviously we didn't come up with the word. It was a white person that called us that. So what if a white person be like, but we originally came up with the word.
Well, technically, why can't we say it? Technically, I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a white person. I mean, Negro.
I mean, that's linguistics. Yeah. That's not the same thing. So, that's a whole other language. No, I mean, because we don't refer to things in Spanish and then say, but okay, we're going to give the American. That's adding your own living term.
But yes. We're adding our own living term to the word.
And the Portuguese and the Spanish, Spain, that all came from Europe. So they started calling dark skinned people around the globe negro.
But it was used to refer to race.
Black,
yeah. It wasn't necessarily like this. Whoa. I mean, race, again, is a social construct, and there's nuances to that as well. But
how would you feel in these last few minutes that we have? What position are you going to take with your children?
I grew up in a household where I was allowed to say nigga. And my parents are activists, my grandparents are activists, my great-grandparents are activists, and they all use the word nigga. We feel very strongly about the word nigga, so I intend to continue to allow my children to use it. I want them to know the connotation behind it, the denotation, but I also need them to have an understanding of the history of our people in general and how far back it goes, and I also need them to have an understanding of white supremacy and why it's they should not allow the people in their space that are not black to use it. But after that, you know, it's their decision.
Well, I have two children, and I don't say it in front of my children, and I think I'd be appalled if my children did say it. But my intention is to teach them the history first before they – I'm sure they're exposed to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't use it at home because I don't want to set that standard as I know that it may not be right to use. Mm-hmm. So because I personally feel like people shouldn't use it, although I know I do, it's like cursing. Like, yeah. Adults curse, but you would try not to curse in front of your children because you want them to learn the right thing first. So that's kind of my viewpoint, is that I'm teaching my children history first.
So you see the use of nigga as being a curse word in the same
ilk. I would equate it as far as how you expose children to it. I would equate it to being a curse word again because of the energy that it carries.
Okay. All right. What do you think about children?
My kids. I will basically give them the history behind the word. I will tell them that, you know, when I'm at the cookout with our family, you know, it's just I'm chilling and I'm not about to try to make myself that aware when I'm trying to relax. Like, but when I'm in school, like, I get it. When I'm in a professional setting, I get it. But when I'm talking to my friends, like, I'm relaxed. Like, you know, that practice makes perfect. And if over time I just really alleviate the use of the word, cool. If I use it sometimes, it's still based off those situations. And I feel like when you teach children, they know how to use things and when it's appropriate. I just need my child to know how to represent themselves when they step out to the world, because the history of it, I would never want someone to minimize you that way. Mm-hmm. And I need you to be able to justify yourself when you do use it. I need you to understand what you're doing. And that's just it.
What about your brother?
So yeah, I was raised in a household where my mom, she taught me respect first. So that's knowing where you are, time and place for everything. You have your family and familiar speech, and you have your outside, outdoor speech. Knowing, and even within my family, we didn't cuss, we didn't, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what I'm saying. So, like, for me, when I'm with my friends, I can speak. Y'all parents ever told you, I know when you little friends.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. So, you know, so I speak with my family, my mom, with respect, and I use, you know, respectful terms around her. Or if I need to break something down to her, then give her that, you know, that respect to let her know that this is what I'm about to say. And then when I'm with my friends, I can go ahead and use whatever language around my friends, because they're my friends. These are people that I can relate to. They have no authority over my life. So I feel like my children, that I'm going to give them the history of the word. I'm going to give them the knowledge of it behind it and understand that basically that you have to know the time and place to use it.
Okay. Any other comments? How you feel?
I'm going to let my kids use it. I listen to hip hop. If they do hip hop, I'm going to make sure they don't use it in their lyrics so you don't have a crowd full of white people saying the word because you put it in there.
I would like to extend my sincere appreciation to all of you for coming and sharing your thoughts, and we'll have to have you come back. There are a number of topics we need to talk about. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.